everyone, and welcome to JeffG Tonight. DK Shadow says 42K Bitcoin equals the meaning of life. Yes, it's amazing to see Bitcoin continue to rise. Now, I think that 42K was the target for a lot of people, and I think Renting Patriarch had made some analysis that 42K would be the target. So we might have a drop from here. But it's spectacular to see already the enthusiasm, and the bull run hasn't even begun. There is now Bloomberg saying that it's going to be at 500K. That would be awesome. But I don't know if I will hold to 500K, because when these big corporations that have invested heavily in Bitcoin, when they say it's going to go to 500K, it's because they want to sell at 200K, they want to sell at 150K. So you have to be smarter than these misleading headlines. And, you know, the pattern of Bitcoin peaks has always been 3X, the last peak of the bull run. And so 3X, 69,000 would bring us to 180, 190K, but not 500K. Now, with all the institutional adoption and the big retirement manager of funds that are buying Bitcoin, perhaps it will outcompete the previous bull runs. But if we go by the previous bull runs, it would be at 180K, 190K that we reach a peak. DK Shadow is sending me, oh, he signed up for Premium Plus. And he sees a Grok option. When you sign up, yeah, Twitter tells you you're going to have Grok, but you don't have it when you are signed up. But I know I've been subscribing to Premium Plus on Twitter simply because I wanted to send money to Elon. I want Elon to be financially viable. I love Elon. I love his is free speech enthusiasm, and so I want to reward this. But yes, it is false advertisement, because they do tell you that you will have access to Grok AI when you subscribe, and then when you're subscribed, no, you don't have it. I was extremely disappointed. Low Mercury Tuna sends a super chat on Entropy. He says, one person A is white. White person A saves a white orphan from certain death by adopting. White person B conceives a child with a black woman. Whose genes scored the biggest win? Well, this is totally in line with the analysis I had done previously. People were asking me, how related are you from a child of yours that you had with an African, or from a random European? And the answer was, you are equally related. So the random European has as much genes that are like yours as your child does when you reproduce with an African. So the answer is, the biggest win is equal. Whether you save a white orphan from certain death. Now you can have all sorts of caveats in your hypothesis. You could say, well, is it true that white orphans are likely to die if you don't adopt them? And you could ask also, the child that you get, is he sure to reach the age of reproduction? But if we're talking about all other things being equal, then the adoption of a white child, the saving of a white child from certain death, would be equal to having a new child with a black woman. And his second question of the super chat says, I saw the last episode, cool it with the philo-Semitic remarks. Did I do any philo-Semitic remark? I'm sorry if I did. That was certainly not intended. I have difficulty finding what you're referring to. Have I stated philo-Semitic things? I don't remember at all. Ayan says, Jeff, how is your health? The otitis got much better, and I don't feel congestioned. I think yesterday I was able to go through the show without anti-allergy and anti-inflammatory. And I hope that I will be able today too. I did have a little cough, but that was mostly... That is mostly throat clearing. I don't feel that I had the white lung. They tried to remarket the flu this year as the white lung syndrome. I can't believe they're doing it again. Like, you don't have any shame after COVID. No, we're just going to do it again. White lung syndrome. Stephen Robinson says, JF, do you believe that for Europe to maintain a white majority, that embracing paganism and rejecting Christianity is necessary? No, I've never been into this paganism stuff. You know, this whole going back to the ancestors and this whole conception that the white population is meant for paganism historically, and that they were just taken over by Catholicism and therefore Christianity. I don't feel that it's particularly important to do that. That's why I'm not an anti-Christian militant. I don't think that we should abolish Christianity. I'm okay with Christianity. And I would point to the people who think paganism is the answer to modern problems. Anything that you may dislike about Christianity is probably also applicable to paganism. Like, if you have the theory, for example, that Christianity has weakened white people, do you think that paganism in a modern world with planes and immigration and national borders and voting, do you really think that a form of tribal paganism is going to save you? Like, you have to realize the weakness of these religions, these proto-religions, you could call them, because they were much less organized than something like Christianity or something like Islam. These proto-religions were tribal tools that were extremely varying across the population that would probably not sustain modernity. Paganism was easily kicked out of existence by something like Christianity. And it probably would get kicked out of existence by probably any meme. It's not venerable. It's a disorganized form of religious beliefs and tribal beliefs. And it is not equipped to survive the modern mimetic environment. Now, because paganism basically doesn't exist anymore, or exists just in specific individuals just fascinated about this subject, it's very hard to actually make a negative case against paganism. And I think that's what charms a lot of people. A lot of people think, oh, well, why not go back to this? There doesn't seem to be evidence that it fails. Well, it's because there's no evidence that it succeeds either. DK Shadow says, organized religion defeats unorganized religion. Exactly. And the same way atheism will be defeated because atheists won't make babies, paganism has been defeated and would be redefeated if it came back. And that is, you know, Adam from No More News was commenting on my tweets recently and bringing this kind of perspective of the kind of Viking LARPing. Someone called it Viking LARPing. And although I wouldn't call it Viking LARPing, you have to admit the reality. It is that if you want to be equipped in the modern world for the mimetic war, the pagan beliefs aren't—they're too loose. They're not going to make it. So you need something else, or you need nothing. The something else that came to replace paganism is Christianity. And although you can have your reservations about it, and I do, I don't believe that there's a God, but you have to grant that it's a better mimetic survival value that you get from Christianity. Raised Fist says, Christianity got most of its main ideas from paganism. depends on what you're talking about. If you go into a Christian town today, you're going to see some pagan traditions, a lot of them. But the people who believe that they are true Christians, they won't necessarily adhere to these pagan sub-traditions that are kind of co-opted with Christianity in other villages. Richard Spencer was saying, quite possibly the dumbest argument I've ever heard. Yes, I think he's right. David Frum is making quite the argument here. That is if I had tried to make an argument that is stupid, I may not have succeeded to do as well as David Frum. David Frum was saying, another reason to be glad that Joe Biden is president right now. It would be very difficult for the United States to properly condemn Hamas sexual violence under a U.S. president who was himself found liable for sexual assault. The whole this conception that you get the moral high ground with Joe Biden on questions of sexual assault is absolutely stunning given a certain number of considerations. One, Joe Biden sniffs children. Literally, Joe Biden is a child predator. You would be absolutely unwise to get your child to take a picture with Joe Biden. Second, there is no evidence that Trump has committed sexual assault. It's only in loose liability civil cases that he was found was it that he committed sexual assault? They marked a checkbox, and then there's another checkbox they didn't mark. I think they didn't mark the rape, but they marked the sexual assault. And it was on an old story by a divagating old woman who was almost certainly lying. And so, no, you don't get the moral high ground with Joe Biden the sniffer. DK Shadow says, Joe Biden was hashtag me too. It's just the leftist media made it disappear. There's publicly available horror stories of what Joe Biden does, including, by the way, the fact that his own daughter is reporting that he was taking weird showers with her. Now, what did she mean by weird showers? You know, maybe he didn't rape her, but maybe he did. Or maybe it was just some more sniffing, even more private degrees of sniffing. I don't know. But certainly you don't get a moral high ground with respect to Trump, for whom there's no evidence that he's ever done anything against a female's will. The GTA 6 trailer is up. It is an absolute treasure of anthropological knowledge and reasons not to live in California. The jail, you can see the tower of the jail, you could see the fences, you can see the Spanish lady prisoner, inmate.
Lucia, do you know why you're here?
Bad luck, I guess.
The black social worker in the jail, do you know why you're here? Of course.
You're here.
Bad luck, I guess.
Bad luck, I guess. No. Guilt, no feeling of regret for her actions. She's just not lucky because she got caught. The publicity planes trying to drag human attention in a degenerate town. the overpriced condominiums, the swamp bayou traveler of the air vehicle, the black woman, the jogging buffs. She said she cared about me. The highway party girls. The local gangs of Mexicans with jacked cars. She tried to make my the black dancer twerking. The golden thief, black gangster with tattoos. The way she thought it should be. The Asian DJ just hailing the crowd while faking that she's moving any sort of beat onto her fake USB DJ board. Yeah, we were desperate. The gold digging horror of the condominiums. To have each other the state agent collecting the alligator from the pool. the black woman on the car twerking. The cars driving in circles, the Jamaican flag street. I mean, if you were to make a right wing, like, don't go to California pamphlet type of trailer, that would be it, basically. The swatting police. The naked crazy psychiatric fleeing fat white guy being run after. DK Shadow says it's Florida, JF. Well, I mean, Florida or any of these hot places where there's lots of dense populations. I don't know, it was Florida. The biker, the crazy guy driving his pickup truck with his right feet. The, how do we call this, hillbilly woman, tattooed or covered in dirt.
Well, look who's...
The crazy grandma with two hammers.
Back. The only way we're going to get through this is by sticking together, being a team. Trust?
Trust.
My God, it seems to be centered around the love story of thieves, a Spanish woman charming a white guy for his trust and honor. It is absolutely stunning for me to see this when in my brain, GTA has always been and will always be only this. I don't know, to a certain extent, I would love to be able to get into those new GTAs and see the art, see the anthropological aspect of what we just saw, you know, this whole exploration of the gangster lifestyle. But I can't. It's just too much time and it's not enough involvement, and I just don't feel as much involved as I would in GTA 1. But it's good to see that they are continuing to create, and new generations will be exposed to what is really, unfortunately, a celebration of degeneracy. Because you can look at this trailer and see these things as bad, but the reality is there are people who enjoy, there are people whose imagination is stimulated toward the criminal world, because they see this world being put together in GTA. So that's too bad. Rachel Maddow says Trump wants to put MSNBC on trial for treason so he can execute us. I don't think this is happening, but I would love if something like this can happen. Something like a judiciary process for the lying media. Rebecca is 33 weeks pregnant and it has been a total nightmare, but this is how women need to sacrifice for their family if they are afraid of having kids / going through pregnancy and birth, doing something that absolutely sucks, but it doesn't suck for everyone. To make the family whole is how we can contribute. I'm sure her husbands hate working sometimes too. Well said, but for most women, pregnancy is far from a total nightmare. For most women, it just goes extremely well. And I don't know exactly what she's referring to, what happened that made it hard for her. But most of the time, honestly, the pregnancy, the women are doing better. When pregnant, certainly mentally, they are doing better. It is my experience that one pregnancy is the equivalent of 10 visits to the psychiatrist with maybe 5 different medications that they would try to fix any issue. You get this for free by nature. You are set on a path, a project that you know the deadlines of, you know when the baby comes out, and it helps the female brain focus onto what matters. McDonald's is to open a new spin-off restaurant, Cosmec. Cosmec. I had never heard of this. Let's look at the menu. We have cold brew crap, s'mores, sour cherry, energy burst, tropical green teas and lemonade, signature galactic boost, all drinks, all crap. Let's talk about the real part of the menu, sandwiches. Spicy queso sandwich. So what looks like a kind of burger with a tomatillo, with spicy queso cheesy sauce, and a creamy avocado tomatillo burger. A slice of tomatillo. And the other elements of the sandwich. A buttered bun. This doesn't look super interesting. I don't know. Is this a burger or is this a sandwich? Is there really a patty here? If there's a patty, maybe. Maybe it can be good. A patty in a buttered bun, it can only be good, really. DK Shadow says, maybe Cosmec's ice cream machine won't be broken all the time. Yeah, I mean, there was an investigation on YouTube about this. And it was so hilarious. Like, the guy went insane. He was like, how do I find the answer? Why are ice cream machines never working? And it turns out it's a whole conspiracy, right? He uncovered a conspiracy. Ian says, saying cheese is now illegal, we must all say queso. Yeah, I mean, queso is this paste, this cheese-like paste, basically, that is melted cheese. It's meant to imitate melted cheese. How much cheese there is in there, it's not clear. But as a Frenchman once told me, there is never a case where melted cheese is bad. Melted cheese, when you think about it, it's always good. Doesn't matter how much of a crappy singles craft processed cheese you get. Doesn't matter if it's Velveeta, super fat blocks of half butter, half cheese. Doesn't matter if it's Cheese Whiz. Doesn't matter if it's the costliest cheese you could find from Italy. The melted cheese is always good. And this Frenchman was correct. He was not always correct in his arguments, but that was a very correct statement. The Kobesi letter says, "This is strange. Bitcoin and gold just moved in sharply opposite directions after weeks of similar price action." Yeah, I don't think it's particularly strange. That's how winners are made in the market. So you had a peak of both assets. Eventually, Bitcoin attracts more, is more accessible. And it attracts more hope of a crazy win. Whereas gold, we all know gold is on a stable path. We all know it's a relatively good investment, but it's also a boomer investment, and it doesn't have the hopes that the crypto world has to become the new money. It's just, and so yes, you will have increases of gold in response to the inflation fears, but I think Bitcoin will systematically outperform gold during the bull run, and overall will outperform gold as a whole. Eventually, it won't just be in the bull runs. This guy is annoying on Twitter, Whalewire, a guy who specializes in writing about Bitcoin but complaining about Bitcoin. It's like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Bitcoin is essentially a giant game of musical chairs. Few understand this. Tether will print fake money under the fake narrative of Wall Street buying and inject it into scam exchanges, which lures in retail to buy at high prices. From there, the music will stop and the bloodbath ensues. But the greed and FOMO blinds 99% of the crypto community from seeing the gun to their head. Stay safe, whales. The thing is that can be said of any investment. Any investment is a game of musical chairs. Any investment, by definition, everyone wants to find the peak, and the people who end up finding it the first are eventually causing the further drop and are causing you not to find the peak. But that is the reality of investment. It's a reality of the market. It's not particular to Bitcoin. And I think that Bitcoin has demonstrated across the years that even in its down times, it's doing pretty well. I was not unhappy with my Bitcoin at the bottom of the bear market. I was like, oh my God, it didn't fall more than this. That's awesome. So that's how you have to see your investment in Bitcoin. Yes, it will fall. So don't think that you have acquired money unless you have sold. But some of us are willing to handle the fall, and some of us are willing to get the greater gains across bull runs, and that's fine. Ayan says, yeah, they target boomers with these gold investment ads. All the ones I've seen show stock pictures of happy elderly people. Yeah, it's too bad. It's too bad because there's a bunch of people who would get exactly what they think they're getting from gold, they would get it from Bitcoin. Britney Spears appears to be extremely unwell, says Jan Malschung. A few hours ago, she posted a video of her pleasuring herself on Instagram and declared that she now feels like a six-year-old. I've looked at the video. There is no evidence of masturbation in Britney Spears. She is simply demonstrating her new underwear. She is in bra and she has an underwear, and she's just touching herself in the way a model touches herself. Like, oh, look at me. Oh, look at me. I'm so sensual and sexy. It's it's not particularly fascinating to see an old woman being in this mental state, but it's not masturbation. So I wrote a community note. I hope that my community note on Jan Malschung will get upvoted, because I was clicking on this expecting to see Britney Spears masturbating herself, and I didn't. I was extremely disappointed in the journalism here of Jan Malschung. As for her claiming that she's 6 years old, I don't know. She says, it's silk. I don't even feel like I'm wearing anything, and it's a pretty color too. 40 can suck my dick. I turned 6 this year. I feel 6 most of the time anyways. That is not really Britney Spears saying that she is 6 years old. It's she feels like a child. She feels like a child, and that's an okay feeling, I guess. People are so dramatic about Britney Spears. They want to take her liberty back. Leave Britney alone. She didn't do anything to you. I've offered a debate to someone who says he seems to be a libertarian for surrogacy. These people who buy the wombs of women. He seemed frustrated that the conservatives didn't want to argue with him. Is there a single conservative that will debate surrogacy as evil? LP Original ran away after a dozen non-arguments. Patio Chris Conn seems busy right now. Apparently Jim Bob has a good argument. I'd love to debate him if someone has details. Rachel, do you? I've scoured the internet and I can't find a single conservative argument that is worthy of not being left out of the conversation. And so I said, I'll debate you that surrogacy is evil on evolutionary and moral grounds. He says, sure, I guess when the conservatives run, the libertarians can step forward. I don't personally see a distinction or that much of a separation between conservatism and libertarianism. Arguably, they are overlapping philosophies, and I don't particularly identify more as a libertarian or more as a conservative. To me, all of my conservative and libertarian ideas go together. So, in fact, as I was saying, and this made Andrew Wilson laugh, but as I was saying, I want the world to be free. I want libertarianism so that we can go back freely to social conservatism. That is how I see it. I believe that the social conservatism of early America was achieved through liberty. And I believe that if it wasn't of the oppression of the state, if it wasn't of the state crackdown on free association, like forcing people to accept diversity, if the state hadn't forced so much onto the American people, we might still be in a socially conservative world. That is my view, and so I don't see myself as a libertarian coming to occupy a conservative spot. I consider myself a conservative and a libertarian. So my argument for against surrogacy goes as follows. There is a natural selection system that exists that we haven't been perceiving much, but that the conservative kind of have an intuitive understanding of. And when they prefer caring for people who care for their own biological children, we all have this intuition. Even leftists have it to some extent, because tell a leftist that they can't have their biological babies and it's going to be a disappointment to them. Like, it's going to be a problem. Maybe they will say, ideologically, I think it's okay to adopt. But we all know that there's a difference between adoption and biological children. And this intuition actually tracks to a true evolutionary fact, which is that when you care for the children of other people, you are favoring genes that drain parental energy more than it can give. Okay? There's a depth. There's a depth accumulating. If you take 50% of the population of young newborns and you just switch them, just magically switch them. And even if you were to do this and nobody notices, you were to do this magically with a magic wand and people go forward in life, they are convinced that they have their babies, but it's not their babies. What you just created is an evolutionary pressure for more parental drainage at the expense of the parents' ability to produce more children. Because the adopted child, let's say by a homosexual couple, what about the adopted child if he has a gene that makes him drain so much energy from the parents that they cannot have further children, they become so obsessed with just satisfying the needs of this special child that they don't have any energy left to continue the family. What you have is a generational equilibrium, a disequilibrium stemming from this. You have the next generation, when this child, this super draining child, becomes a parent, he's going to give birth to unviable families. Because he's going to give birth to children who all have this gene for draining parental care. But if he makes a large family, he's going to get drained too much and be unable to deliver any meaningful parental care because this gene attracts all of the care to the single child. In other words, you have disaligned the input and output structure between the parent generation and the child generations. And the child that you are raising through surrogacy could even be doing good. Even if they were doing good statistically, and you were to tell me, well, JF, we've measured their employment, their SES, we've measured their performance at school, everything is going well. But the problem is you just disbalanced the genes for parental drainage versus the gene for parental delivery of services. You have created an asymmetry in the evolutionary direction of society. This asymmetry will lead to more suffering down the line than if you just had let the child die in the snow. And I was stunned by the beauty of the snow outside of my house. So just before the show began, I took a picture. Unfortunately, it's very dark here, so you can't really see, but there's a beautiful layer of snow outside my house. It is so charming. I love the cold of it. And let me tell you, a baby on this snow will not survive an hour if you don't feed it. I believe that surrogacy is wrong because it displaces current suffering for multiples of more suffering down the line of generations. Because you have just created a system where genes are rewarded for draining parents abusively. You have created a context where large families become impossible because you have favored those genes. And most importantly, the people who adopt are probably in the upper range of parental quality. So they are delivering good parental services to genes that don't deserve good parental services and genes that won't be able to reciprocate to the next generation for parental services. So you are farming incapable parents using the best parents you have, which is people so motivated at having children and at doing a good job that they're willing to do it for someone else's genes. That is my view of why surrogacy is evil. It is a transfer of imagined suffering today into even more suffering tomorrow. And it is ultimately farming into society people who will forever need more and more help from the state to do a correct job of parenting. And there's no limit to this system. As long as you allow surrogacy, there's no limit to how much it can grow into making stupider and stupider parents. Because if the genes don't pay the price for the quality of the parental service delivery, then the genes are evolving in a direction where parents are becoming less and less competent. Because you have people who are saved by the good parenting genes of other couples. That is what we need to avoid. We need to avoid destroying the eugenic pressure that sustains good parental behavior. And the way to do this is we have to ensure that the children who get the good parental care are the children who have the good parents' genes. And the only way to do this, the only way where this remains aligned and symmetric across generations, is to heavily favor and absolutely discourage surrogacy, adoption, and any of these things. Rodila Sid says, it also frees the parents who could not succeed enough to take care of their kids, and now those unsuccessful parents are rewarded by having even more children. Exactly. That is the that can be the mechanism of drainage. The gene doesn't have to be in the child that's draining the parents. In a way, it's the other couple, the one that's making these babies that need adoption. These couple, the surrogate mother gene is nothing else than a child abandonment gene. If you let the surrogate mother get away with it without going through the cost of caring for her child, then you favor her gene. And her gene are nothing else than cuckold drainage genes. She is like the bird who has learned that they can go pound some eggs into the nest of other birds and that somehow their babies will survive because he's going to benefit from the parental care of the other bird. So that is my argument, Fabian Liberty. I will clip this. I will send it to you on Twitter so that you know what's my argument. Let's hear you and what you have to say for surrogacy in answer to this. I suspect you don't have an argument. If you truly claim to be a libertarian, I don't think you'll be able to undermine this argument. Maybe you're not a true libertarian. Maybe you're one of these leftist libertarians of, oh, let's just see what happens. Well, what happens is a complete destruction of the structure of parental care and the eugenic pressure for it in society. It's really grave. It's really grave what you're attempting to do with civilization here. And it's only in this crappy modern world where these weird sexual practices have been pushed that we can even get to the point where people are open to this idea. In a free world, people would have freely chosen to have forms of bigotry that protect them from the attack that you're trying to do here on the human family. So I'll be up for this debate, and I hope that it will be scheduled soon on The Crucible, probably, because Andrew has shown interest in hosting this debate. So let's go to The Crucible, sure. Justin BlackRock filed an update version of its spot Bitcoin ETF application with the SEC. So is this indicative that those were amendments that perhaps the SEC was asking and that BlackRock is very close to getting accepted? Maybe it is. That's probably why Bitcoin is doing so well. Ariel Suarez says, I don't think Fabian Liberty is very well versed on evolutionary incentives and its eugenic / dysgenic effects. Well, how can you be a libertarian? This is what stuns me. You can't be a competent libertarian if you don't understand that ultimately the only reason why liberty matters at all is eugenics. The only effect through which liberty makes good things in society, unless you want to take the axiomatic position that, well, liberty is good. If you don't want to take an axiomatic position of the kind, if you want to be empirical about it, the only reason liberty matters, the only outputs it has in society, is through eugenics. It's because liberty is the proper system in which meritocracy can rise. Meritocracy both at the economic and natural evolutionary level. So not understanding eugenics, as far as I'm concerned, is also not being a true libertarian. Shamrock Shake says, Jeff, will messing with genetics bring out unwanted traits like an increase in psychopathy? Well, anything you do messes with genetics. Anything you do changes the evolutionary pressure one direction or another. So the only question you have to ask yourself is, whatever action A is, does it make psychopaths have more babies, or does it make psychopaths have less babies? It's the only thing that matters to evolution. Silver Spider says, hey, Jeff, whenever I tell conservatives that I meet that I'm a libertarian, they look at me weird. Then I say what you just stated about liberty leading to a conservative society, and they think it's crazy. Then they want to implement a big neocon state, start wars, have a police state, etc. Yeah, I don't know. These people have a completely ahistorical view of what led to the current state of affairs. They don't understand that the state is the enemy and has been the enemy of social conservatism for basically 100 years. And there's so much misinformation about this. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Americans don't understand that early America was a small government. Small government society. And that the Christianity that has risen to discipline people morally across the towns of the U.S. was all undertook under a form of religious authoritarianism within the family, but a liberty of the whole of society. It is under liberty that neo-evangelism of the American style was born. It is under a free world. People converge to this, and this Christian practice that developed was, of course, operated by religious networks, families, local pastors of all kind. But all of this was a direction that was taken by society. It could have went another way. America could be a little more like France, could be a little more like Catholic / secularist. It didn't go that way. And it didn't go that way through a free process. The free process of the Christian success against the rest of civilization. Great Ape says, JF doesn't believe in regression to the mean. He knows it's BS. I have discussed this before. I understand that regression to the mean is a statistical fact. It matters for statisticians. And I understand that there are things like regression to the mean in real phenomenon also, like the idea that if you are in a population and you look at it through the generations and you end up having an individual who's very high IQ, well, regression to the mean is the statistical fact that if they have a baby, he's probably not going to have as much of a high IQ as their parent, even if IQ is genetic. Just out of the, well, it was a very irregular observation to the right of the bell curve. Therefore, statistically, you're more likely to have a child that will be closer to the middle of the bell curve. So I acknowledge that this is a phenomenon. It's a statistical reality. But we have to understand it as a statistical reality. It can change our view of the way we think of single observations and its links to populations. But I think it's also overstated and over... You know, when Jordan Peterson... I had some critiques of Jordan Peterson when he was using that concept as a real concept rather than as a statistical artifact. Whale says Bitcoin going to 500K according to Bloomberg analyst. Again, be very careful with these predictions. When the mainstream media is telling you that price, it's because they intend to sell below that price. So Bloomberg apparently has a stack of Bitcoin because they wouldn't be pointing to such a high target if it's not because they want to influence society in that direction, and they want to cash in on it. Louis C.K. says, I'll probably get suspended for this disgusting use of free speech, but did you know that 12 Cybertrucks have been delivered after announcing it 4 years ago? Elon Musk has had more kids in that same time frame. First, I think it's unfair. These leftists are always, they're always saying, I'm going to get banned. It's like, no, bro, you don't understand. You don't understand what it is to have true dissident thought, okay? You've not gone through it. You don't have the street creds. You don't have the internet creds. You are nothing. Your view is not even shocking. It wouldn't cross the mind of Elon Musk to even click, even if he can do it manually and he could ban you. You want to do it because your little critique of Cybertruck is not what the regime wants censored. It's not what the FBI agents are writing to Twitter to make sure that they ban, okay? I'm more that kind of guy, and I know you're bullshit. You're an amateur in provocation. That being said, yes, Elon has admitted being late, being that it took a lot of time to get the Cybertruck out. But now it's out, so the Cybertruck fans can celebrate and feel relieved. Now it's out. What do we have in the news? Senior Hamas leader Nizar Awadalla brought to Gaza hospital, where he died shortly afterward. So apparently a target of the IDF that wanted this Hamas leader dead, he has been killed. Why do these Arab? I'm trying to make good arguments against Israel in this war, but why is it that every time we get a video from Arab places, there's always a bunch of people yelling and hitting each other and just making general noise in general directions? Do they ever take a fucking break? Do they have a shift? Do they have a rotation? It's like, bro, I've been yelling and yapping for 8 hours. Come replace me. Landolt Guntram says, come on, JF, it's their culture. It's like, it seems that a bunch of white people, when they are in an emergency situation, you can see everyone suddenly focus on, let's save the people who are at risk. Hey, do this. And we actually whisper to each other. It's like, hey, call the police. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do the chest pumping. Call the police. Are you sure we got someone calling the police? Okay, can you handle the upcoming cars here? I don't want to be... It's like, this is a white group trying to save someone. An Arab group trying to save someone. Man, I wouldn't want to be saved by the Arabs. I'd rather be saved by the whites. If I ever find myself in danger, please make it so that a bunch of white people just happen to be around. Silver Spider says, hey, Jeff, I heard a sort of leftist argument that goes like this. Genetic difference doesn't matter because originally we are all traced back from the same energy of the Big Bang, and that is prior to genes. The only separation is applied by the mind. What do you say to something like this? Well, it's an argument that is very similar to determinism means that nothing matters. That's basically what is said here, but they're doing it at the sauce of evolution, with the evolutionary sauce onto it. First, if you adhere to this view, nothing matters. Like, if you adhere to this view, you should literally believe that you could go out and literally press a button that sends 1,000 nuclear bombs, just eliminating the entire human species off the face of the earth, and that this wouldn't matter because it comes from the Big Bang. So I think that people who make this argument, they are trying to make a kind of very poor devil's advocate, because the reality is almost no one would do that. Almost no one would actually go out there and just kill random people and say, oh, sorry, the Big Bang made me do it. I don't care, the Big Bang made me do it. So you have to realize that this is not a specific argument against evolution. It's an argument that seeks to deny any sort of utility to current choice, decision-making, actions of all kind, and evolution. Now, the counter to it. First, I would point out, no one believes this. Almost, I never found someone who believes this. But if someone was to hold this position really straight face and say, no, no, Jeff, I believe this, I would say, okay, you believe that that current states in the world do not matter because they are deterministically influenced by previous states of the world, right? And they would have to say, right. And so I would have to say, okay, so imagine there's a state here and you rewind the universe by one step. So you're saying that everything here doesn't matter because it was determined by this step, right? They would say, right. And let's rewind one more step. Everything here doesn't matter because it's determined by a previous step, right? They would say, right. Everything here doesn't matter because it's determined by a previous step, right? Right. Now, if I take three of these steps, one, two, three, do you acknowledge that you did you just admit to me that state number two was needed to reach state number three, and that in fact it was predetermining state number three? Like, do you admit that for a meteorite to collide with a planet, the planet had to first be formed, even if it's determined that the planet would be formed before? Do you acknowledge that ultimately the planet being there was needed for the meteorite to collide into it? The person would have to say yes. And then I would say, well, I am one of these slices of time. From the beginning of my birth to the end of my life, I am slice number two. I may be fully determined by what happened before me, but my existence in the universe is needed to get to point number three. I am slice number two. I am a causal agent in a deterministic world. And this is the recognition that even if the world is deterministic, if one of the actors of the pre-written script of the universe isn't there, then things are going to change. We all acknowledge, and in fact it is a presupposition and an axiom of determinism, that even if things are determined, they have to unfold with every expected element in place. Or remove one of these elements and the universe changes, including all future time points after your removal. And so it is not because the universe is deterministic that you should not want to take moral actions in one direction or another. To the contrary, because the universe is deterministic, you will understand that your actions influence the future state of the world, and that even if you are a product of the past, you are needed to produce the future. Once you have acknowledged this, it doesn't matter whether the Big Bang has seeded a series of mathematical equations into existence that are absolutely determined in advance. You still may, as a moral preferring agent, as someone who wants the world to be in one way rather than another, you may acknowledge that you have a part to play in the unfolding of this mathematics. And in fact, determinism assures you that you do. Because if you weren't there, the world would be different. And all causal routes from the past would differ into the future. For this reason, the Big Bang is not a good argument against evolution, moral choice, against having desires for how the world should be. Because you can recognize that you're a deterministic creature while also acting out and playing the full potential of your causal role in this determined universe. Great Ape says, Jeff, do you agree that regression to the mean is more of a statistical artifact than a statistical fact? Well, I've said basically this. I've said this about 5 minutes ago. So just rewind the show. And yes, that's my view. A very disparate situation for the population of Gaza.
Of several neighborhoods in eastern areas of Khan Yunis. Again, this is a city that the Israeli military believes members of the Hamas leadership.
This is just straight destruction of residential towers. Like, it's total destruction of the Gaza civilization here.
Residents fear that this could be an indication that an Israeli ground offensive could be imminent. Now,
they just destroy everything that looks like a building. It's a total carpet bombing that we're seeing. Slow carpet bombing. I titled with this today because it's fascinating to me that it's what they're headed for. They're headed for, because you don't want to fight anymore, the white men. We're going to recruit people who are so desperate to get into the U.S. that they're willing to exchange potentially their life, become a soldier of the U.S. and gain citizenship in this way. That is a law that is currently pushed by the Democrats. Senator Dick Durbin finds that we don't have enough soldiers, and so we need to give free U.S. citizenship. So since you don't want to fight for Israel, white man, we're going to find someone who wants to fight for Israel, and then we're going to import them as citizens in your nation. So you're going to either fight the Spanish or you're going to fight the Israelis, okay, white man? Great Ape says, where JFG and I do disagree is about the universe being deterministic. I don't even have a position. I don't have a position on whether the universe is deterministic. I was arguing against someone who would claim that the universe is deterministic. I do not necessarily believe that the universe is deterministic. I think it may be. I think it may not be. I don't have a strong position.
What troubles me about the debate now about the southern border is it is one half of the immigration equation. Yes, we need order at the border. Yes, we need to have changes in the laws that reflect the reality of the overwhelming numbers from all over the world who are coming to our shores and our border. But there is also an incredible demand for legal immigration into this country even now. The presiding officer, my colleague from the state of Illinois, has legislation which addresses one aspect of that. Her bill, and I hope I describe it accurately, says that if you're an undocumented person in this country and you can pass the physical and the required test, background test, the like, you can serve in our military, and if you do it honorably, we will make you citizens of the United States.
And there you go, military service against demographic change. And so you're going to have a whole host of trouble, starting with the fact that you have basically mercenaries who are joining the American army not because they have a sense of defending the nation, a nation that they even know. it's a nation they want to enter in and that they're not a part of. So that is going to be who defends your interest, of course, in quotation mark, because as it turns out, it's not going to be your interest, it's going to be Israeli interest. So you have this complete divorce between the American army and the American people, both in terms of who will serve in it and in terms of what interest it serves.
Do we need that?
So you're going to have Israelis saying, hey, we're pushing out the Gazans. Could you take these Gazans as immigrants? Oh, yeah, and to push out the Gazans, we will need some ship support. Can you send us some soldiers? Oh, well, you don't have soldiers. Well, how about you take these Spanish soldiers, these Mexican soldiers, make them U.S. citizen, and make them serve our pushing of the Gazans so that you can also get the Gazans as immigrants. And you're going to get Gazan immigrants and Mexican immigrants. All of this for... all of this for what? Not for American interest. You're going to destroy your demographic stability at the expense of the U.S. demographic stability to protect Israel. Beautiful. And I say beautiful because MB says, come on, JF, this is horrible. Yeah, when I say beautiful like this, it's sarcastic. It's horrible. Yes.
Do you know what the recruiting numbers are at the Army and the Navy and the Air Force? They can't reach their quotas each month. They can't find enough people to join our military forces. And there are those who are undocumented who want the chance to serve and risk their lives for this country.
Well, Ali Mayer says, I'm pretty sure they've been exchanging military service for citizenship for quite a while now. There may have been deals like this before. But what he's trying to push here is the idea that you're already an illegal immigrant. Basically, you are in the United States illegally, and you get your citizenship that way. It's not like I apply and, oh yeah, I had good service, and so I'm rewarded. It's a... it's more like you were an illegal migrant. You can go to the army office and start your service now. Maybe next time says, if I'm not gay or crazy, can I still join the military? I'm sure they will take you. They will put you on the front line, I'm sure, so that you can protect trans lives. Israel is desperate. They are sending offers to media groups and YouTubers. Hi, Grace. I'm Ido from the Movers community. I wanted to personally reach out to you for a paid opportunity with the goal of promoting a positive view of Israel. We operate a user-friendly platform featuring original content endorsed by Israel's government advertising agency, where members actively promote curated pro-Israeli content, becoming ambassadors with just a few clicks. Interested, Grace? Let's discuss details and compensation. So you're going to have a wave of sold-out creators who are soon going to be super enthusiastic about the whole Gaza genocide. They're going to have been bought for $200, $300. It's amazing. Parents of Native American blackface kid hire Dominion lawyers, demand Deadspin journalists retract accusations. So this kid was accused of doing blackface when in fact it was, you know, they took half of his face, they took a picture. Look at that. I mean, how dishonest can you be? They took half of his face to suggest that he was in blackface. In fact, he was a Native American face. And just in case you would want to do a critique of his cultural appropriation of Native American looks, he is a Native American. So you've... this poor sports journal has fallen on the wrong guy. Now he may have a massive lawsuit that he can potentially push. He may be able. The firm previously won a $787 million settlement against Fox News for Dominion voting systems. So it's the firm that made the deal for $787 million with Fox News. I like that they are currently going after the journalist. And oh my God, will they have to pay the price? This guy is Native American. He was just wearing his traditional cultural attire. And you misrepresented it as blackface. And, you know, there cannot be doubt on the deceptive intent. Whoever chose that half-face photo knew what they were hiding. Andrew Wilson has had an amazing performance on the Whatever podcast. He's been doing a massive run, a marathon of four different shows there. And I never watched the Whatever podcast other than through the clips. But for the first time in my life, I watched the whole thing yesterday. And I posted some clips on Twitter. People have enjoyed 100,000 views on this clip. So Harry was defending the Gorlock nickname and the idea of fat shaming.
You're going to continuously make fun of me, right? And this is the group it's coming from. I'm going to hit back. Okay, that's fair. Okay, but then he kind of moved on into this whole, but you see what it is that I don't deserve to have any criticism, and this is all projection because this is how they really feel, not how I am. And it's like, that's when I go,
criticism is not calling me Michelin Man. It's not calling me Gorlock. It's not making fun of my body.
What's not constructive about that?
Oh, I was laughing my ass off when that moment happened. Look at her face. He's like, Andrew Wilson stands by the Gorlock and the Michelin Man description of this girl. And this girl is just laughing, trying to control her nervous laughter. That is what having balls is in debate. You can score just out of what people say. See, it's very hard to come in a debate and look good if you come in and say, hey, you're Michelin Man, you're fat. This doesn't look good. But if you can get her to pronounce her own insult against herself and just say, what's wrong about this? That is the art of retaining a higher class, like, perception of yourself while insulting the other still in a way that the audience can detect. That is what I like about debates.
What? Do you think that encourages...
Do you think it
encourages healthy behavior when it feeds eating disorder mindset?
The constructive...
So she has a leftist conception, you know, with body positivity and all. She has a leftist conception that calling her to reduce her weight is the eating disorder mindset. It's like there is a sickness of society that wants her to be thinner.
Criticism, how dare you, the constructive Andrew. Criticism's not for you. The constructive criticism, it's a shaming tactic so that everybody who sees a person like you out there trying to say it's okay.
Yeah, and I don't consent to shaming tactics.
Hang on. I'm trying to tell you.
It is not constructive.
It is constructive. It's constructive to all of society to say, I'm trying to explain anytime you're ready to let me.
So, and here Andrew will simply say, it's not for you, the message. It's for all of them out there. Allah, thank you for smoking. I'm not talking to you, son. I'm trying to win them. The role of the marketer. And so Andrew Wilson says, well, it's constructive because we're telling society, don't get fat like her. I don't have a strong position on fat shaming, but it was a strong moment of the performance of Andrew. Here I say, this girl made a first principle argument that was kind of impressive to me. I had never thought about this. Now, of course, she comes at it from an anti-incel perspective. There was a debate in the Whatever podcast yesterday around, do femcels exist? Do female incels exist? And to call them femcels is kind of to remove the involuntary from the definition, which is, as someone pointed out on my Twitter account, in my Twitter replies, it's a sleight of hand of sorts to remove the in of the incel and replace it with femme. Because then it's like a female celibate, but is that involuntary or voluntary? And I think the general message on the guy's side was overwhelmingly, a female who wants to have sex can have sex in the sense that she's not going to be rejected from society. There's not a part of the dating market on the female side that is completely disparate, that has really no one who can ever love them. There is a large segment of the male market that's like this. So that's what it means when we say there are no femcels. Now, her argument, although I don't agree with it and I'm not convinced by it, I think was pretty smart. Her point is to say, if we took all of the incels and we made them love butt sex, they wouldn't be incels anymore. So technically, the reason they are celibate is that they refuse to fuck each other. The male incels. So technically, it's because of the capriciousness of their heterosexuality that they are celibate. They could have a man in their life. Now, for Big Brain JF, as MB calls me, Big Brain JF, yes, I'm a big brain guy. And although that argument to me is absolutely ridiculous, it is kind of smart when you think about it. It kind of raises the question of, is it the case that ultimately at the limit of the universe, everyone is voluntarily celibate? You could make some kind of an argument like this.
If she was so inclined, could get sex, whereas it's not clear to me if any man could just go out and immediately get sex.
I agree. I totally agree.
But that's typically not what femcel refers to. Like, I don't think femcels are actually arguing, I can't fuck anybody. They're saying, I can't fuck anybody who would care. Same way those men, in theory, those incels could fuck each other, but they're not going to be attracted to each other and enjoy it.
Hold on. But if the definition of femcel is a female incel...
I actually need you to repeat that.
Why? You didn't hear her?
No, I didn't. She has meth mouth. You got to talk slow so I can understand what you're saying.
The reason I talk so fast is because I keep getting cut off. It's not to try and sound
smart. I didn't cut you off.
No, I know. I'm just saying in general. But anyways, my point was, yes, a femcel could get sex from anybody.
Okay.
But the point was, men in theory, those incels, they could get sex from each other in theory, but they won't enjoy it.
From each other?
Yes, in theory.
Yeah, he's talking about the opposite sex.
No, I know, but I'm saying the same way a femcel might not enjoy having sex or even find any like little bit of attraction to the guy who's propositioning her on Reddit, those guys won't enjoy having sex with each other. So that's why I'm saying it's two different...
So the reason it's still a clever argument, even if I disagree with it, is she has successfully relativized the femcels. So let's say that there's a female who is single and she is celibate, but it's because she only wants to date 10 out of 10 Leonardo DiCaprio level billionaire guy. Is she an incel or is she a volcel? Is she voluntarily celibate or is she involuntarily celibate? And when you use her relativization tactic, you could argue that this girl is an incel. Even if she is totally in love with just one man, but that man happens to be unavailable, she is an incel. Now, to me, it doesn't make sense to treat it that way because, okay, everyone who's celibate basically is an incel at this stage. But it's interesting because you can think that perhaps it's a matter of standards in some cases. And there is kind of a relationship between standards and these standards not being met that totally differs across the male and female spectrum. So it was overall a great intellectual experience. And I know that the previous appearances of Andrew were even more interesting than this. So having had the pleasure of looking at a whole podcast now, yesterday night, I might very well redo this. And I might go back and check out all of the Andrew Wilson appearances. I think they were awesome. There was another time in the podcast where I said the lady is trying to make the case that deontological preferences about a relationship can exist without it necessarily implying that the person experiences feeling about them when they are violated. So she was saying to Andrew, it's not all about my emotions. Sometimes I may have deontological preferences about a relationship that don't cause particular emotion in me, but that I still care about. Like, I could say that I'm against betrayal, but betrayal may not particularly cause a negative emotion in me. I may not feel it. I may be apathetic about something, but I may still think in kinds of deontological, theoretical terms that this is not desirable. And I think she was right. I think Andrew was pushing unfairly on this. But that is my view. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for watching. And I will be here tomorrow. Much love. Sleep well. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.